Cara Vidado won $1,000 here yesterday, as announced by Laura Dwyer Schletke, Thinking Real Estate. Nice job with that, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Did you say Vidado or it's Cara Vidado?
Vidado.
Cara Vidado.
Isn't that what I said?
I'm sure. I couldn't tell. Okay. I just want to make sure. Sorry.
I could have easily botched that up, but I think I had it right.
Yeah, I don't know if Corey's gotten a hold of her yet or not, but hopefully.
$1,000.
She's $1,000 richer.
That's
all
nice.
For spending $23.85 at Rustic Market.
So Laura's back here because Councilman Jeremy Alexander apparently upset with you, Laura, about some real estate. Can you
can I elaborate?
Can you tell us what we need to know here?
Well, I've been working with a developer. I started showing a developer properties in the city, and they wanted to stay within the loop, and so I showed them several properties. At first, I thought they were interested in apartment buildings, and I don't think we had any apartment buildings for sale in the loop, but anyhow, I was showing them options, and it just brought them back to the Vermeulens and the Masonic. And anyhow, I had to walk into a different room. Bill was grinding beans. Sorry about that. But anyhow, I'm talking to them. I ran everything past Jonathan Green to see if there would be a conflict of interest if I worked with these guys on presenting a proposal that they had. They worked up their numbers. It took them several weeks to figure out what they really wanted to do and whether or not they could even do a viable project in those two buildings. And they came up with a letter of intent, which they presented to Jonathan Green. And I had an agreement to get paid a commission, which I had disclosed to not only our city manager, but each and every council person when we did a presentation in front of them prior to the meeting that's coming up tonight. So it's really all that simple. But apparently, in the last meeting on Friday, Will Forgrave and Jeremy Alexander were at it, and Jeremy attacks me in front of everyone and accuses me of a violation of the code of ethics. And so there you have it. Will Forgrave had asked me if I would give up my commission and hand the transaction over to another realtor, and I said yes. Who would you like me to give it to? So that evening, I withdrew my agreement from the with the developer to represent them or to get any compensation from them. It's a really interesting project, and there's two deals on the table. Actually, there's only one deal on the table now because I'm told that the city manager took this development off the table, which is unfortunate because despite their offer, which I was a little surprised on, but despite their offer of $1 each for the buildings, it brought in revenue to the city, tax, property taxes, income tax, and parking fees. And it would create, I think the developers had just figured that it would create about 75 jobs. It took the burden of two buildings off of the city's shoulders. I mean, it was a really interesting project. And unfortunately, I'm told, I have not seen the documentation or the updated packet yet, that it is off the table.
So there's no issue, right?
As far as I understand, there's no issue. So the only thing that's on the table is the Jackson School of the Arts has an offer in on it. That's only on one building, which that concerns me because it leaves the Masonic Temple, which is the most challenging of the two buildings to develop. And I don't think the city wants to be left with a white, as I said to Jonathan Green, I don't think we want to be left with a white elephant that we have to feed. I'm just really interested in making those two buildings. They're awesome. They really are beautiful buildings, especially the Masonic Temple, and making them productive assets of the community. And I'm just not sure, you know, I'm not sure that the Jackson School of the Arts proposal, although they're a very cool organization, they do a lot for the community. I don't know that that's the right one, despite the fact that their offer is $500,000, but it's that's it. There's no revenue coming in after that point. So with that said, I mean...
Yeah, but they've raised nearly $3 million.
My understanding, the money they raised, and I don't know, I haven't seen the documentation, I've only heard from some of the investors that the money they raised was for the Masonic, was to be invested in the Masonic. I don't know if it can be applied to the Vermeulens, but even with that said, even if they update the Vermeulens, once the city gets paid $500,000, they don't make any more money. From what I understand, and I haven't read the whole purchase agreement, but I do know enough that it includes the Vermeulens and a parking lot, and I don't personally think the city should give up a parking lot, which would be one of its ways to get revenue back. And with the development of downtown, I mean, the Y is doing a capital campaign to do a major build, hopefully, and that would increase hopefully their membership and need for parking. That those are all opportunities for the city to make revenue, and it's our job as council people to minimize the taxpayers' expenses of property, right, and to generate revenue on the assets that we have.
School for the Arts, they wanted the Masonic building, right?
Well, originally they have a lease that they've defaulted on with the Masonic. You know, they had some change in direction, the school did. And again, I don't know enough about the school. They weren't in existence when my kids were little, so I didn't have the opportunity to utilize them as a parent. But they had a lease that the city had put, I think the city's put about $2 million into that building, and I think about $2.9 million in Vermeulens. I might have my numbers mixed up, but we have a lot of money in those two buildings. And
why would we sell them for a dollar?
Well, it's not so much... Yeah, I don't disagree with that statement, but mm-hmm. any developer would have to make a rate of return, or there's no reason to do it, right? And the developers that...
But it would be decades before they would make out, wouldn't it?
Right. Actually, I did a spreadsheet of the two offers side by side, and if they sold the Vermeulens and the Masonic for $2, basically, when you put in the property taxes, that would be paid. And this is assuming that the city also gave an OPRA to this development company, which meant freezing the property taxes,
right,
for a period, and there's a formula for that. And I just assumed worst case scenario, so that if we made more, we get paid back more. But the numbers that we ran between property taxes, income tax, both residential, because their project would have been a combination of apartments, like it would have been, I think, 20, 22 or 24 apartments, market rate apartments downtown, a grocery store, a couple of to-go restaurants, kiosks available for small businesses to utilize, and then a space for a small brewery. I mean, it would have been a really cool activated space. But if you take all that into consideration, the revenue from parking, income tax, both commercial and residential, and property taxes, worst case scenario was about 25-year payback.
Okay.
The beauty is that the city has already in place a brownfield on that building, so we can, by selling it to a private developer, we can recapture tax dollars, you know, the what we don't get is school taxes, but we do get county taxes. So that helps the payback also. But you sell it to a nonprofit, the only money you get is the upfront money. You don't get any taxes. They'll have very little income tax. And if we sell them a parking lot, we'll have no parking fees at all in this particular deal.
So that deal's dead in the water. Why wasn't the complaint dead in the water after the last meeting?
You mean the meeting on Friday? Not council meeting, right? Is that what you mean?
Whenever that was brought up.
Oh, yeah. So it was Friday.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I had all along disclosed to everybody that I was working with these developers, getting paid a fee, and that I was going to be abstaining from any votes.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy's attacking me in the media, and I'm not sure how ethical that is, because the ordinance has a process for concerns about any ethic issues, and it doesn't include giving the information, his concerns to the media prior to giving them to council members, which I believe has been the case from what I'm hearing from everybody. I have not read any of the articles or his posts or anything like mm-hmm. that. The updated, I have not seen his complaint, which I am told is in the new packet that has been published on the city website. I just haven't had a chance to see it. I think the city manager got it updated late yesterday. So I haven't seen it, but just based on comments that Jeremy had made in the meeting on Friday, I don't know. I don't know why he's attacking me as opposed to dealing with it in a fashion that most people would do. I know his ex-wife is my daughter-in-law, so maybe he's got a personal vendetta against me. I have no idea, but...
But there's no deal, right?
There is no deal. I had always disclosed the commission. I had always disclosed that I was abstaining. I put no pressure on anybody, just got information to council members and the city manager and, other interested other parties that wanted to know the information. There was nothing underhanded. There was no agreements he's using the word kickback, which is just makes me cringe.
Yeah.
I mean, I think people who know me know that I would never do anything to compromise the city. I was excited about having the opportunity to figure out a solution, make downtown Jackson just more vibrant, which we all need and know any town. I feel lucky that these developers were interested in Jackson. I hope what's happening doesn't discourage them from doing something in our community. I'm disappointed that it got removed from the agenda, that their offer got removed for consideration, because I think that is detrimental. That's detrimental to the city. Because the city manager has every opportunity, not that it's Jonathan's fault, I don't mean to make it sound that way at all, but the city manager has every right and opportunity to take an offer and negotiate it.
Yeah, did he caution you at all? More about this deal?
I talked to Jonathan before before the introduction of consideration for a project in that building, and Jonathan didn't see any problem. I told him I was working with these guys, that they were paying a commission, that they wanted to write up a proposal for a project in those two buildings. And he was excited about it. He didn't see any ethical problems. Greg, all along I have disclosed this. My God, this is what I do for a living, is real estate, and I'm passionate about the city of Jackson. So it was just, the money was, and The money was not important, as evidenced by when Will Forgrave asked me if I would give the money, basically give up the commission or give the transaction to another realtor, and I said, yes, who would you like me to give it to? That evening, I withdrew from representing the developers because I would like to see a really great project like that in those buildings. So at this point,
yeah, it sounds like you were up front. The word kickback has a ramification that you were going behind everybody's back, but it doesn't appear that way.
No, that wasn't the case at all. I told each and every council person that. Jeremy accuses me of strong-arming and putting undue pressure on the council members, which is not the case at all. I don't roll that way. I mean, when I put issues on as evidenced by the assessment, getting assessments on the tax bills, look how long that took me, 4 council meetings. So I clearly am not a strong person, and council doesn't do things just because I say something. That's evidenced by the votes, you know. I think that everybody on that council is an independent thinker, and the developers were not, they're not strong arm type of guys at all. They just were super excited about having an opportunity to do something cool in Jackson. So it's just all unfortunate right now. And, I just want to make sure going forward, you know, obviously I've learned something from all of this and I will do things different in the future, but I don't believe I did anything unethical. I was upfront with everything.
So that should make for a pretty interesting Zoom session tonight.
Yeah, yeah. It's live on Facebook if anybody wants to watch it. And it's unfortunate that the general public doesn't get to see what the project was proposed on for this, and I don't know. I guess my thought process at this point for the best of the city is to put the Jackson School of the Arts offer, just table it and do a request for proposal, because if we've had, regardless of who they are, if we've got people that are interested in those buildings and they can do something that can get money back into the city's hands, for the, you know, $5 million that we have into those buildings, whether it's, you know, up front, I don't doubt that anyone would walk up and give us $5 million up front and then do something. But, if there's somebody out there that can do a project and, get money back into the hands of the citizens by, you know, whether it's through tax dollars or cash up front, then, or both, preferably both, right? Then let's see if there's somebody else out there that can come up with a project that works, cash flows for them and cash flows for the city, right? I mean, the city was smart, and so, you know, these buildings are a little bit different than the vacant land, right, that we sold for a dollar to the two projects that are now up and will be on the tax base.
Just real quick here, Laura, how did the other council members, how did they respond to this project? Were they excited about it?
They were close to their vote. I couldn't read. There was only one that I heard, you know, her say that she was super excited about it. But other than that, I couldn't tell you anybody's reaction. They I think the council as a whole, everybody likes and appreciates the Jackson School of the Arts, and they would like to see them succeed and find the right space for them, whatever that is. And I think everybody wants to see those two buildings activated, and I think it was a very difficult decision for council if you take this issue that Jeremy seems to be attacking me on. Off the table, if you take that off the table, which I had done by backing away from the project altogether, it would be very difficult. But my own personal opinion is that we need to do a project, I don't know what it is, that activates both those buildings. I don't think you can sell, unless you sell the Masonic first, I don't think you can, I don't think it's a wise choice to sell the Vermeulens first and be left with the Masonic. I mean, and then include the parking on top of that. That would just really make the Masonic even more of a white elephant. But, you know, I'm just a little disappointed that Jeremy felt the need to attack me. I think he could have handled this much more professionally, and he chose to do it in the light of the media, which, I mean, I'm not trying to hide anything, but I don't know why he chose that. He thinks he has to attack me. I would never do that to anybody.
Meeting tonight at 6:30. Thanks for that explanation, Laura.
Yeah, no problem. I appreciate the opportunity to always talk with you.
Thank you.
All right. Think small. Oh, wait, shop small, win big, right?
There you go. Shop small, win big. Like Kara Vinado, won 1,000 yesterday.